Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Well, turn in your New Testaments to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, and today we are bringing to completion this series that we have been in, I think, for the last 6 months or so. I'd have to go back and look, but we have been in 1 Peter, and now 2 Peter, and we have looked at every word that Peter has written to the church. Today we will close out his final words and his letter to the church. And typically, when you write a letter, your last words are some of your most important words, right? The case is no different here. Peter's letter ends with some pretty drastic imagery, some words of warning, words of caution, but also words of encouragement and hope. He kind of summarizes his message, all wrapped up into one here in his final words. And so they are very important to us, and I'm looking forward to sharing God's word with you this morning. The extra hour of sleep means I can preach for an extra hour, right? Okay, I don't see too many enthusiastic hands up with that, but let's give our attention to God's word this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. I want to piggyback a little bit off of verse 9, because it's so important, and he mentions it later on in a couple verses farther down. He, God, is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Friends, that's the heart of God. God wants everyone to be saved. He does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And you can hear the urgency in Peter's voice and in his words. God wants everyone to be saved. And so we must live with this sense of urgency, because the days are short. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Pretty important question, right? And his answer is even more important. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth in the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, and that's the title of the message this morning, looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. There it is again. God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance and be saved. The Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul, who also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forevermore. And say it with me, Amen. We are in the first week of November. It's one of my favorite times of year. I don't know what you're looking forward to, but I, especially this time of year, am looking forward to many things. A lot of things happening with our family this time of year. Our youngest son has a birthday coming up next week. Hard to believe he will be 17 years old. That's mind-blowing to me. So we have his birthday coming up. I'm looking forward to Renee's birthday, which is just a few days after that. And I won't tell you how old she's going to be, but she's still going to be in her 40s. We're looking forward to that birthday. And then looking forward to Thanksgiving. That's always a fun time. Our Thanksgiving all-church dinner is a highlight of our church year, and I hope you can be there for that, and we'll give you more instructions about that next week. And then Black Friday sales. I mean, who doesn't like to get a really good deal? Just don't go overboard. I'm looking forward to the start of Advent, which is just a few Sundays from today. A wonderful time in the life of the church and all the festivities that go with the holidays and Christmas. Oh, I'm getting excited just thinking about that and Advent. And then, let's see, we've got our all-church Christmas party that I'm looking forward to. That's always a lot of fun. What else? Just all the Christmas music, all the festivities, everything. I'm looking forward to it. And then the end of the year with New Year's, the new year just around the corner. So many fun and exciting things to look forward to. All that being said, Peter reorients our thinking and helps us to focus in on the one thing that we really should be looking forward to more than anything else. The one thing that as believers in Jesus Christ, as a people of faith, as people who are filled with hope, the one thing that we are most looking forward to, he tells us in verse 13 of 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, we are looking forward to a new heaven and the new earth. Amen? This ought to be our focus. This ought to be our priority. All these other things that I mentioned are good. They're wonderful. You have things coming up in your life that you're looking forward to. It's all good. But they're temporary. Peter orients our thinking, our hearts, to that which is eternal. And what is coming, says Peter, but not just Peter, what is coming is the new heaven and the new earth with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This ought to be our abiding hope, that there is coming a day when Christ will return again and the majesty of God will be revealed for all to see. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. As they see the glory of God, we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. Now, the scriptures in both testaments give us snapshots of what this new heaven and this new earth will look like. And so I want us to look at Revelation chapter 21, where John gives us a glimpse of what this new heaven and this new earth will look like. This beautiful vision of what things will be like when God restores all things and makes all things right. And so, Revelation chapter 21, I could read the whole chapter to you, but I won't. I'll just read just a few select verses. But he begins in Revelation 21, 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Get this, verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And you can go on and read the rest of the chapter. We have a glimpse here, a snapshot of what the new heavens and the new earth will be like in the full consummation of the kingdom of God. No more suffering, no more tears, no more crying, no more death, for the old order of things has passed away. Amen? This is not just a New Testament vision. The Old Testament prophets give us glimpses as well. Turn to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah gives us another beautiful portrait of what the full consummation of God's kingdom will be like in the new order of things as God comes and makes all things right. Isaiah chapter 65, and I think we'll begin at verse 17. But these are just some passages here to help us stay focused on that which to look forward to, the new heavens and the new earth. Isaiah 65, beginning at verse 17. Behold, I will create new heavens and the new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice, amen, in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. Get this. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Sound familiar with what we just read in Revelation 21? The sound of weeping and of crying will be in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought of as a mere youth, and he who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of the tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. Verse 23, they will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but the dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is what we are looking forward to. Amen? The consummation of the kingdom of God in its fullness, the new heavens, the new earth. This is our hope. This is our eternal perspective. This is what we must be striving for and longing for and hoping for. This is what we are looking forward to. Folks, this is our hope. We are a people who are destined to dwell with our God forever. And He will care for us as only Creator God can. On our journey from point A to point B, on our way there, we're going to have some bumps along the road. And there's going to be trials. And there's going to be suffering. And as you followed along in this sermon series, you know that Peter has talked a great deal about the sufferings that we will endure along the way. But even Paul says that the sufferings that we endure here are really nothing in the grand scheme of things. They will appear as insignificant, for when we are finally there, all these old former things will be forgotten. But on our journey, we will go through trials. And one of the warnings that Peter gives is that we must be ready. We must be alert. We must be on our guard for the Lord's return. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Thieves love to operate in the dark, in the night. And they love to operate when we least expect it, right? If you've ever had your house broken into or your car broken into, it's a sinking feeling. It's no fun. And we know that there are thieves all around. You know, they don't want to get caught. So they act in pretty tricky, alarming ways. And Peter tells us to be on our guard, because the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, Paul uses language exactly like that in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. He says, "For you very well know that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." Jesus himself uses language very similar in Matthew chapter 24. He says, beginning at verse 36, "No one knows about that day, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And then he goes on and says in verse 42, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." Now, if you study Matthew 24, Jesus highlights there are signs and things that we can be watching for that all point toward this day of the Lord. But the reality is, no one knows the time, the day, the hour. So we must live every day not as if this was our last day. I've never liked that saying. You know, people say, you know, live today as if this were your last day. No, the scriptures tell us to live as if this were the day that the Lord were coming back. That's how we need to live our days. Live today, live tomorrow, live on Thursday as if this were the day that Christ was coming back. So we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And then Peter gets into this harsh language about fire and destruction and how everything would be destroyed. And I'm not quite sure what to make of all that. I have a few thoughts that I'll share with you. I don't think Peter had, as he was writing these words, I don't think he had a special pair of glasses that he could put on and look into the future. I don't think that's what he's referring to. I don't think Peter, as he was writing, put on these special glasses and could look into the year 2022 or 2023 and see what's going to happen. You know, all this apocalyptic language, you know, there's strong imagery there. And so I don't think prophecy is so much about foretelling the future. Although, I am living in the future. I mean, the rest of you turned your clocks back an hour. I didn't. So technically, I'm an hour ahead of you. So, I'm living in the future. I don't think that's what Peter was talking about. I do think that as Peter wrote this letter, and some of the strongest scholarship available tells us, he wrote this no later than AD 70. So Peter certainly would have been alive when the great fire in Rome happened in the summer of AD 64. In the summer of AD 64, a fire started out in some of the small merchants there by one of the great stadiums in Rome and spread like wildfire. And it burned the city of Rome for 6 solid days. They were finally able to get it under control, but then it sprang back up, and the fire raged for an additional 3 days. Historians tell us, that fire of AD 64 destroyed nearly two-thirds of Rome. So I'm fairly certain that as Peter was writing this, he had the great fire of Rome in mind. And was warning believers there in the first century that as a fire could spread so quickly and destroy everything so rapidly, and I don't have to remind you about what the fires did here in our own backyard just a couple of years ago. So I'm fairly certain as Peter saw and believers saw and all the people saw Rome literally burning right before them, he uses that imagery and he uses that horrible picture to remind people that the destruction of this temporary world could happen at any moment. And we must be ready. For there is coming a day when God Almighty will come and judge the ungodly and will spare his people. I don't know if Peter could look into our future today. I don't think so. But I do know that what we're dealing with today is something that they didn't have to deal with back then, something called nuclear weapons. You realize that we have the capacity today as humans to destroy this world with just a few missiles? Do you realize that just a few days ago, Wednesday, North Korea tested 23 missiles in one day? It's the most they've ever tested ever in one day. And so humanity now has it at its disposal, the ability to lay this entire world bare with nuclear weapons as we've never had that capacity before in the history of the world. And so we know that the possibility for this world to go up in smoke and fire and ashes is very real. But however that comes to pass, God will be able to redeem all the evil and the destructionness and the fire, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And so with all this that we're dealing with, the fire and the destruction and the ungodliness and the sufferings and the trial, how are we to live? Are we to hunker down and just, you know, live in our own bomb shelters and live in fear and live in dread? No. Peter says we are to live holy and godly lives. What does that mean? It means that we live with the optimism of God at work in our hearts and in our lives. That we're not supposed to get caught up in all the craziness of this world. Way too many people are already doing that. Our hope is in God. And if the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us, He gives us the ability to live holy and godly and joyful and hope-filled lives, even in these crazy days that we are living in. Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Live as holy and godly people as you look forward to the day of God. And then Peter does something interesting as he closes out this letter. He references Paul. Now, if you've been following along closely in this series, you've noticed how I referenced how much of what Peter says parallels with what Paul says. There is a great deal of similarity between Paul's message and Peter's message. And Peter is saying, listen, I'm writing basically the same thing that Paul has written to you. And so stay true to these words. But he also gives another warning. He says there are those who will distort the scriptures. And in my mind, this is very important. There are those, especially in these last days that we're living in, who will twist and distort the scriptures. And we have to be well versed in the Word of God so that we know the truth from falsehood. Tomorrow, actually, I start a brand new teaching class for Nazarene Bible College, Biblical Interpretation. I love teaching that class. I love teaching Intro to Old Testament and Intro to New Testament. I love teaching these classes because what we're trying to do is help these students understand, these students who are preparing for ministry, to get a firm understanding and a firm grasp of the truth of God's Word. Because we do know that there are those who don't understand the Word of God and will twist and distort the Word of God. And so, as never before, we must be well-versed in the message and in the truth of the Word of God, so that if there is a distortion, we can come back and say, no, that's not what God's Word teaches. And so Peter is closing out his letter with some warnings. He says, be true to God's Word, and he's also saying, stand firm. Look at verse 17. Be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless people and fall from your secure position. This is how Peter is choosing to end his letter, with a warning to be on your guard, because if you're not, yes, we are secure in Christ. It's not like God is just going to leave us on our own. No, as we are in Christ, we are secure. However, if we are not standing firm on the Word of God and firm with the Lord, there is the potential, as was the case in the first century, as we have seen it all throughout the centuries, and we're seeing it even today, there is the potential to fall away from our secure position. And so Peter is writing with this urgency, stand on the Word of God. Know the truth. Do not get carried away by the error of lawless people who distort the Word of God, not only for their own destruction, but for yours as well. And his last sentences to the church are this, and this is what I'm going to close with this morning. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Make this your personal ambition, that I am going to grow in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every day. Every day. Make that your life's motto.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God, because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.